Good evening. Good to see all of you back here tonight. We're going on the same route as this morning. Rob and Jenny weren't here this morning, so I'm going to re-preach the sermon I did this morning. Not really. I wouldn't do that to myself or to any of y'all. So anyway, we'll be continuing series I started a couple weeks ago, coming from the Fear Not, I Am series, and tonight we're going to be looking at the statement of I am the Good Shepherd, another one of the metaphors that Jesus has used to describe himself. Jesus, I am the Good Shepherd, and that comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. If you have your Bibles or you're using a device, I'd ask you to turn there with me. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. The phrase, I am the good shepherd, you know, another one of the metaphors that Jesus used to describe himself, it's not to be understood as an occupation that Jesus holds. It's not a job. It's not something that, you know, that he takes something in return for to do. In Mark chapter 6, verse 3, as well as Matthew 13:55, which are both very similar scriptures, Mark 6:3 says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And in Matthew 13:55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? So we see here in these verses that the occupation that Jesus held in his life is that he was a carpenter. That was his real job that he took after his father who was here on earth, even though he didn't bear him, he helped raise him. He helped raise Jesus. But we know that Jesus' father is God. However, we're not really here to talk about the occupation of Jesus. We're not here to talk about how he was the carpenter. We are here to talk about tonight how he is the good shepherd. I think it's fair to say that in our society, the occupation of a shepherd is vaguely familiar. Shepherds, they tend for their flocks as a livelihood. It's what they do every day, and mostly just about every hour during the day. And I have one of my friends that I grew up with in the youth group when I was younger, and still feels weird saying that, when I was younger. I feel like most of y'all would say, oh, you're still young and stuff like that. I'm just like, well, I was younger at one point, but anyway. One of my friends that I grew up with in the youth group, he and his dad have these sheep at their house. However, his dad is a was a real estate agent, but they kind of they keep sheep on the side. So I'm not sure if I would exactly consider them shepherds, but they do have these sheep that they look after and do help take care of. However, they don't make a living from doing it. But we understand what a shepherd is. And since this is true, and especially with the words of John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, tonight I want us to look at and examine some of the points that Jesus was attempting to make by saying that he was the good shepherd. And the first thing that Jesus wanted, the first point that Jesus was trying to make here in verses 11 through 18, said that a good shepherd knows his sheep. A good shepherd knows his sheep. They're in the same chapter, but in verses 3 through 4, we see it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice." A good shepherd knows his sheep. The fact that a shepherd knows his sheep, even by name, demonstrates his deep interest in their welfare. Jesus, what does he know about us as his sheep? You know, he knows the hairs on our head. He knows how many fingers we have, and he knows our thoughts. He knows what our hearts are like, what our minds are like, what our intentions are. He knows everything there is to know about us. He knows what our next reaction, what our next thought is going to be. He knows everything and all. The thing is, Jesus was uniquely qualified to know his sheep and his followers. John chapter 2, verse 25 says, "And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man." What this is more so in relation to is that he knows the hearts of man. He knows our intentions. He knows that he knows whether or not if we're being who we truly are. And it's interesting that he mentions this, because it's so easy to not be the same way we are here as we may be somewhere else. And it kind of, that verse kind of serves as a point to say, I am watching you, and I know as my sheep what I expect from you. And he wants us to be careful, because a good shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus knows who we are. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he didn't, like, especially with guiding the people that he had to guide, especially his apostles, he didn't have them, you know, come and serve him like he was, you know, a king. He was always the first one willing to serve. Jesus did not simply sit in an ivory tower, proclaiming, great statements or these platitudes or these commands, but he mixed among the people and touching them and healing them. If Jesus were alive right now, people would probably be freaking about, would probably freak out about him, because, he went around touching people, and he's like, "Whoa, dude, why are you touching people? Like, no, we don't do that anymore." He was more so doing that because he was healing people. People may not understand quite the context of what usually happened if he was touching someone. It was usually because they were sick and he was going to heal them. While we know Jesus still had the power even just to say for them to be healed, and it would be done. A good shepherd knows his sheep, and Jesus knows and loves all of his sheep, and not just the elite ones, not just the ones that which he took by his side for those 3 years and learned and taught them and helped them to learn about him and what his mission was. We see many times in Scripture where the apostles, it almost just seemed like their brain just could not exactly fathom or calculate what Jesus' eternal plan was going to be, especially earlier on in the ministry and when they were hearing some of these first things. They just couldn't contemplate what Jesus was saying or what his actions were going to be. And it took basically up until the time that he went and died on the cross before they finally started to figure it out. A good shepherd, he knows his sheep. He knew the heart of his apostles, and he knows the hearts of us. But it shows that in order to have an understanding of Jesus, that it takes a lot longer for us to get to know him than it does for him to know us. That's why Jesus is so awesome, because he knows us. A good shepherd, in knowing his sheep, means a good shepherd cares for his sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I don't know why, but when I read that statement, it kind of sends chills down my spine. In that statement there, it's not talking about, you know, God really doing anything for us, but it's about us submitting to him. But we see the extension of that statement, that he may exalt you at the proper time. You know, he's going to lift us up with him at the proper time. It's if we humble ourselves under him, be his servants, and do his will, then he will bring us at the proper time to the place where he believes we belong. He controls where we're going to go. But it also says, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If we spend our time worrying and, you know, fretting over things that don't really matter, you know, it's just going to bring us down. It's going to cause us to get lost. It's going to create this doubt in our minds that, you know, we just can't get through this, or we're never going to heal from this moment that's just happened. But Jesus is our shepherd, and he cares for his sheep. And he wants us to go to him and relieve these anxieties, to make sure that we can have this peace of mind, which we talked about this morning. If we do that, it will be so easy to follow him, and it will be a lot easier for him to be in that image of the good shepherd that he is for us. He cares for you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." If there's anyone that can sympathize with our weaknesses, that understands what we go through, it is the Good Shepherd. Jesus himself knows those things that we struggle with. He was tempted in all the things that we struggle with, but he did it without sinning. He knew that he knows the power of temptation, because he was here on this earth. He was man, and he experienced these feelings, these emotions, the pain from beatings and from even just words alone. He experienced rejection. He experienced words that just put you down. But he never sinned in one occasion. And what Jesus did here, what Jesus did while he was here on this earth, is that not only did he learn how to be man, but he learned that obviously it's not so easy. But I guarantee, even if he hadn't come to earth, that he wouldn't have had to be here to learn that. But nonetheless, he came here and he showed that he cared for us. He showed that he cared for the souls of mankind because he was willing to die for them. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. We all know that the parable of the lost sheep, and where, you know, the 99 are still sticking to the shepherd. They're going in the right way, but there's one who's gone astray. The shepherd leaves those 99 and goes to make sure that that one that's gone astray finds its way back. That's what Jesus tries to do for us. He tries to make sure that we're all there in the end, but there's only so much that he can do from his end. We need to be willing to follow him, willing to stick to the pack, willing to stay in the sheepfold if we're going to make it there. However, while some Christians do fall away, we also need to think about the ones who are lost, who don't have the knowledge of God or their faith instilled in him. And it's this one sinner who repents, that there will be one person who was lost once they repent and they come and they want to be a part of the sheepfold which God has so amazingly set up. There will be more joy in heaven over that one sinner than the 99 who need no repentance. It's kind of like the example from this morning, you know, when a new member becomes a member of Christ, becomes a member of the body, and, you know, just when you finally walk out from being in the baptistry and getting dried off, there's just a line of people, a line of God's family waiting to meet you. Imagine that, but like the amount of people and the amount of souls that will be in heaven when judgment day comes. It's going to be even greater. There will be joy in heaven with every person that comes to God. A good shepherd knows his sheep. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. A good shepherd protects his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The idea of sober here, it's not really talking about, you know, it's not talking about being drunk or really anything like that, but being of a sober spirit means making sure that you're focused in Christ, that your heart and your mind are so focused on Christ that you're showing the example for the sheep and where they need to be. It's even the goals of our shepherds who serve here is to have their minds and their spirits engulfed by Christ and the word in which he gave to us so that they would be able to lead us efficiently and effectively. It says, be of sober spirit and be on the alert. A good shepherd knows what it means to be on the alert. we read here in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, or verses 12 and 13, says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep." The good shepherd will go out of his way to make sure that the sheep are protected. But this hired hand, this one whose goal really isn't to protect the sheep, but to basically one who fears for their own life, is the one that chooses to make the mistake of running away because they're too scared to try and help, because to them the sheepfold is not worth their life. And that's how someone becomes lost. It's when they run away from the sheep, when they're not willing to lead in a way that they probably could. He doesn't care about the well-being of the sheep. He cares for his own life. Says the wolf will then snatch them and scatters them. The good shepherd will protect his sheep and make sure that the wolf doesn't pick a sheep from the flock. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." It's interesting that even the Bible talks about from this present evil age. There's one thing that has been something in the history of man, is knowing that evil exists in man, that it is something that is that we can be so easily captivated by if we're not careful. And God even basically destroyed the entire world because of the evil that was in it. And that wasn't more than, that was only like 1,500 years into beyond the creation of the world. Now, here we are about, 4,000 years later, and God hasn't decided to destroy mankind or decide that the end of mankind is just not yet, because he's patient, because he wants to protect his sheep, because he wants to give other people time to make the decision to become a member of that sheepfold. But he gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Evil is present today. We see it in the different forms and acts of things that have happened, not just in our country, but just, even those who have lived the last 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years, things that you may remember. You've seen it a time or two. You know what evil looks like. And you know it's not something that you want to be a part of. But there's still something about it that draws those who have no interest in God, and they decide that they want to be involved in it, and that they don't think that there's a better path for them to go down. But Jesus died so that we would be rescued from it. A good shepherd protects his sheep. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, "Like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." You see this, I don't know if you want to call it a digression or a progression but we see basically different types of sheep in this passage. It says, like a shepherd, he will tend to his flock. He will, and that flock consists of one of sheep who, you know, are mature, who can follow him and not really have a problem. But it says, in his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes, these younger sheep, these ones that are maybe younger Christians who don't quite have the maturity in their faith to really be strong in it, who are more susceptible to leaving the faith, who are more susceptible to wandering away from the pack, who are more susceptible to being picked off by the wolf that is stalking the pack. These are the ones that he carries, and he carries them close. A good shepherd protects his sheep. It doesn't matter if you're older or more mature, or whether if you're younger and a new part of the family. He loves you just as much, and he's willing to lead you and make sure that you're guided in the right way. A good shepherd protects his sheep. He knows his sheep, he cares for his sheep, he protects his sheep, but he also leads his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. The sheep know his voice, they trust him, they know who it is, and they follow him. But he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. It's not that they just know his voice, but it's also because he knows their name. He says, Glenn, it's time for you to come out. Come out and follow me. Rod, it's time for you to come out. Come and follow me. Mark, it's time for you to come out. Come and follow me. This is what he did more so with his apostles, is going through them, already knowing their names, and he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He knows their names, and he wants them to follow him. And just by the tone of his voice, they know that they can trust him, because they know who he is automatically when they hear his voice. In being part of his sheep, we serve a purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. The purpose that he has left for his sheep is to follow in his steps. He has asked us to continue the work at which he started while he was here on earth. That was the purpose of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Also in the other, and also as well we see it in Luke. He's given a great commission that to go out, preach the word to all living thing, to every living person, to all the world. Preach the gospel to them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of their sins. Also as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We see those steps to 238. We see those steps of salvation. And we see the different things in which it takes for us to become Christians, to become part of this sheepfold. But he died and he started what he did so that we would follow after him, so that we would follow the path that he is walking. A good shepherd leads his sheep. But one more thing that a good shepherd does is that he gives his life for his sheep. We've already read John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, but we saw that the hired hand, he doesn't really think it's worth giving his life trying to protect the sheep. We know wolves, I don't really think they hunt, or at least what you may see on TV, they don't really hunt by themselves, but they hunt in packs, and like that, they're a lot more deadly. They're a lot more able to do damage and do what they need to do in order to survive. But we see the continuation in verse 14. Says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. If this is the case, even if there's, you know, something out there, there's someone out there that's trying to keep us from following the good shepherd, that's trying to keep us from following Jesus in the way that he has set out for us to do, we know that we can turn to his words. We know that we can turn to his truth. And we can find the answer there so that we do not fall to, you know, false teachings or to deception or to division that sometimes tries to be caused. A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. When you think about this, the good shepherd is so willing to give his life for his sheep that he knows he's going to suffer wounds along the way. Not only did he die for our sins, but he also deals with the grief, the rejection, and the false teachings that other people try to make in order to harm the sheepfold. To those who try and harm him, he knows that, you know, those things hurt him. But the great thing about him is that he's in heaven and he's watching over us and he's making sure that we are being cared for while we are here. Being a part of the sheepfold, having those spiritual blessings and the physical blessings that we're able to partake of, he is watching over us, and we can have every confidence in him that he will always be looking after us as long as we continue to follow him. There is no doubt that Jesus is what he said he was. And that is that he is the good shepherd. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves tonight is that, is he our shepherd? Is he our good shepherd? If he is, then we will follow him. I know he is mine. I try my best every day to follow him. John chapter 10, verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd not only goes ahead of his sheep to make sure that they are clear of present danger, but he can't lead them unless, really realistically, unless he's ahead of them, so that he can clear a path for them so that maybe they don't get stuck, or that they don't find some sort of weird detour that all of a sudden they just lose focus and wander off. He goes ahead to make sure that we get there safely, and that in the end that we're all accounted for. This evening, if you're not part of that sheepfold, you have an opportunity to be a part of it. You have an opportunity to become a child of God and be washed in his blood for the cleansing of your sins. He's willing to take care of your sins, but he's also looking to take care of your anxieties and those things that worry you so that he can bear those for you too. He loves you and he's willing to care for you. He's willing to protect you and he's willing to lead you. And you can make that choice tonight to forever be a part of the sheepfold, which is the family of God, in which he has created through the sacrifice of his son. Or there may be someone who is a lost sheep and they've either wandered off or they haven't made that decision and you need prayers of the congregation, or maybe you're considering being one but you're not quite ready to take that next step. We're willing to help, to pray with you and to help you in any way that we can. If there's anything that we can do for any of you, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.